You guys, you're listening to The Dollop on the All Things Comedy Network. We're brought to you in part by Policy Genius. Look, if someone relies on you for financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Life insurance, it gives you peace of mind. So if something happens to you, your loved ones, they're going to have a financial cushion to pay for things like rent, mortgage, loans, education, just everything, daily expenses. And usually life insurance gets more expensive as you age. So start a policy soon rather than, you know, waiting on it. So look, head over to policygenius.com and answer a few questions about yourself. And in just a few minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. And then you compare personalized quotes to find your best price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And they work for you. So Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. So you can trust them to offer unbiased help and advocate for you at every step until you're covered. They don't add on extra fees. They don't sell your info to third parties. So head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. We are brought to you in part by Zen Business. Look, a lot of people right now, the great resignation is on. They're like, they're out of their jobs. They're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want more control over my life. I want a better life. I don't want a boss man telling me what to do. And so a lot of people are starting their own business. Zen Business is very, very helpful. They got an all-in-one platform. It guides you as a new entrepreneur through all the stuff you have to go through to get it going, an LLC or whatever you're going to set up. Got a super easy pricing structure. Starts as low as $49. And then look, they're not going to hit you with a bunch of hidden fees. It's all very straightforward. What they say is what it is. They have a very fast and simple business formation for LLC and other business structures. Worry-free compliance and annual filings, so you can stay in good standing with the state. You can secure an employee ID number so you can open a bank account, hire employees, protect your personal, all that stuff. I wish I had Zen Business when I started my business. It would have freed up all that time I spent on paperwork and all that stuff, so I could have just focused on the business. So look, Zen Business has helped hundreds of thousands of people get their business off the ground by guiding them every step of the way and making it easier to launch a successful business. Get started today for as low as $49 at zenbusiness.com/dollop. That's zenbusiness.com/dollop. And now we are going to play a podcast that we recorded in London last week with Rob Delaney, who gives us a nice special message. But Rob is hilarious. So please check this one out. And well, this one gets a little spicy.
Listening to The Dollop.
This is a bicyclist American history podcast where each week I read a story about bicycles from American, sometimes English history, to my friend.
Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about.
And tonight we have a guest. A man who fled from America in terror, as we would all like to, and found a better place to live. He is a star of the show Catastrophe, Rob Delaney!
Hey.
Hi!
Hi, Rob. Yeah, there you go.
That's Rob.
Hi. Hello. Hi, everyone. Thanks like, for having me.
Thank you for being here.
I like coming. Yeah. I like coming. I just like. Let's get real, you guys. I like an orgasm. I like coming to other countries and seeing faces I know from where I'm from.
Yeah. Well, we all knew each other in Los Angeles years ago.
Yeah.
And you made the stand-ups at the same times.
Yeah. I did a podcast with you once in Greg Barron's closet.
That's right.
I used to watch your sketch show, The B Team.
Yeah, with I.O. days.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I probably know you as well as your moms.
That's sad. It's true. You don't know my family.
I saw a picture of Dave's dad yesterday, and it looks like Dave if you just threw a ton of baby powder on him. It was like, genuinely, I was like, oh, shit, that is very real. My God.
Except when you squeeze me, whiskey doesn't come out, so it's a little bit different.
No, anger does.
That's because of the whiskey. Never mind.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
It all fits together.
Yeah.
I would like Rob to say a few words about something that's coming up here in England.
Yeah, you want me to? I mean, yeah. He asked me to say something about the upcoming election. I mean, I don't know if I need to for you guys. I mean, I know you got 4 days left to register to vote. I won't tell you how to vote, but I'll tell you personally, I'm an enemy of austerity, which is a choice. It's just a thing that the government... I love when they're like, how are we going to pay for it? I'm like, walk around Mayfair for 3 minutes. Fucking... Turn Mayfair upside down and shake it, and enough change will fall out that you can fund the NHS for a couple millennia. So the money's there, and you just campaign. I mean, get out there, do stuff. You know, go to a marginal nearby and find out where you can help out. It's fun. I think a lot of people might be afraid to campaign, like it won't be fun.
It's fun as hell. Yep.
They just... Somebody... At question time, use remote control.
Yeah. Turn his microphone off. Yeah.
Cut Delaney. Delaney. Yeah.
So
he's getting too close.
Oh, here's what I was thinking. It might be cold on the 12th. So when you go to vote, and that can affect turnout. So you need to stop shaving right now. Even the women, you need to grow out all your body hair. You need to get one of these, and. You need to bundle up. You need a cuddle partner or more than one if you're going to be out there on the 12th. Huddle together. Go vote. Stay warm. Work out between now and then, but don't diet. You want to be fat and strong. You want to be fat, strong, and hairy. And then are you doing enough in the lead up to the election? It's just like how much sweat has come out of your body and helping other people to register to vote in the next few days and campaigning and just having fun. Make a treat out of it. And you'll have fun, you'll learn a lot, you'll meet people, and you can kick the Tories to the motherfucking curb.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the money's there. The money's there. It's just, is the will there, you know? Or do you want a change? Is that something you want? Then go ahead and take it. Demand it. I think both in this country and in the country that we're from, you know, people have been told for too long, you can't have anything better. Don't dream. And, you know, don't hope. And that's insane. And fuck that. And the people who tell you that.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Yep. Cosign. Yes.
And then I would just like to add, there's a lot of people that want things to go back to the time before a Boris or a Trump existed, and we don't get to go back. Now we have to make a choice.
Yeah.
Between two sides.
Yeah.
So don't pick the evil one.
Mm-hmm. We were talking backstage, like, I get it. I get people who are like, I just want to go back to 2015, you know? I want to go back to when bad things only happen to people that aren't me. And now a bad thing could happen to me. But, like, we live in a weird blip, you know, from, like, 1989 to, like, 2010, where there was, like, a little blip where you could have a Bill Clinton or Tony Blair or, like, a managerial capitalist president or your prime minister who'd be like, things are going to get a little bit better every year for you, not for them, but for you. And so...
Yeah.
And now that's not happening anymore. And it was like that for 20 minutes, roughly. I know I said 20 years, but really, historians are going to be like, it was 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And now history's happening again, and you got to fight for what you want. You got to fucking take it.
It's the Gilded Age again. You got to act like it.
Yeah.
It's the Gilded Age, and we have enemies, and they're called fucking rich people. Let's get them!
C-
cut to me in Palm Springs with a flamethrower. What the fuck?
Oh, this is pretty fun. Obama was right.
January 1st, 1680.
Year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nathaniel Saint Andre was born in Switzerland to lowly commoners.
Well, we've got an enemy already.
Not much is known of his family and early life. As a young boy, Nathaniel accompanied a wealthy family to London and worked as a messenger and servant.
Okay.
That's what young boys should be doing.
Yeah.
We're almost back there. When he was older, he supported himself by teaching French, German, dancing, and fencing.
Those go together well. That's always been a good combo.
Bit of a polymath.
Yeah.
You can do two of them at the same time.
Yeah. Oh. Fence and French.
Yeah. But his dancing and fencing skills were very poor. So.
It's just, you need a multi-hyphenate. You're buffing up the resume a little bit.
That's right. He was then badly injured by a pupil during a fencing lesson.
So he was really, really bad at fencing.
Yeah.
He was like,
he got
stabbed. He was like, you should teach. You should be the teacher. How did you do that? Oh, wearing pads. That's interesting.
Hey, teacher as a whole. So he immediately had to go see a surgeon, and the surgeon saved him, but more importantly, Nathaniel was amazed by the surgeon's wealth and status. Mm. And he decided at that point that he was going to become a surgeon.
I wonder how hard that was in 1601, did you say it was?
16, we're about 17, we're about around 1700 now.
Okay.
Turns out not hard. You could kind of just go, back then you could kind of just go, hey, I'm a surgeon now.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh.
Well, and also your death rate was probably extremely high to what you're saying.
You're probably
like, well, yeah, I was close. I mean, I got really close.
I did do surgery on
him. The surgery was performed.
Yeah.
In retrospect, his surgery was performed. Suturing, not a good skill for me. I shine. No, it's my fencing with the surgery, if you will.
Oh, here's something you guys might not know, but here, like a doctor, like for your knee is a doctor, whatever, but if you go to a surgeon, they're so much high above doctor, you call them mister.
Is that true?
It is, yeah. Surgeons, you would call it like Mr. Anthony. No, I mean, you couldn't become one, but I mean, if you could, yeah, it would be mister. It's like a higher honorific in the British medical world.
For Dave. I think you still have a shot. I really do.
Yeah.
You could be Mr. Anthony someday.
Oh. Yeah.
Just like your daddy.
It's going to be amazing.
Like somebody could come up to me in the hospital and be like, Mr. Delaney. Or call me Rob. And I'd be like, I think you mean Mr. Delaney. And they'd be like, Dr. Delaney? No, the shitty kind. Just a guy.
No.
Just Mr. Just shitty Mr. Delaney. Not the good one above doctor, but the one below.
Regular Mr.
So he apprenticed with a surgeon in London and then established his own practice in Northumberland.
Yeah, you want to crunch it together?
Well, I'm always scared I'm going to say it wrong, so now I slow it down and it sounds worse.
You weren't that off. That got like a sitcomic laugh.
It was the pause between North and Umberland that really made him hate you.
I get to North and I'm like, there's no way they say North differently. And then I look at the rest of it like, they're going to say this some weird fucking way. Northumberland Court, he never actually studied medicine, though.
Oops.
Nor did he receive a medical degree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But still, is that an issue?
But still, now he was a surgeon. No, yeah, you just do it, like Rob said.
Right.
Still over the
so
years.
It's kind of like becoming a wizard, where you're just like, I'm a wizard.
Yeah.
100%. You're talking about the KKK.
Honestly, a wizard society back then probably would have had a harder vetting process.
I'm sorry, Merlin. You could be a surgeon, but you're just not wizard material. You'll never be a Mr. Merlin.
Still over the years, Nathaniel became more and more popular, and soon was popular with the English upper class and became a notable surgeon in London. His rise was very swift.
Okay. He's knowing nothing.
That's right.
Okay.
He was appointed as a surgeon at the Westminster Infirmary and started giving public lectures on surgery and anatomy.
Again, with no.
Yes. Just impressionistic. I like this part. This part here, but this, it's nice. What do you know about it? But look at it.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah. Pink.
The best surgeon lectures are the ones where they go, this part's nice.
Yeah.
He translated René Jacques Guérin's A Treatise on, that's a weird word, it must be surgical operations, into English, and even introduced a new way to prepare anatomical specimens. Pretty soon, Nathaniel's reputation caught the attention of King George I.
Wow.
One of the greats.
Yeah.
In May of 1723, he was personally selected to be the royal household surgeon and anatomist.
How is this happening? How is he...
Well, there were a lot of, like, there's a lot of inbreeding with the royals.
But even then, like, at some point, has he performed a surgery?
Yeah, he's doing surgery.
And he's just sort of going, like, God damn, the body is so complicated, isn't it? That is crazy. So he's much just, gunk in there.
He's just, back then, you just muddle your way through it.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
So, his job was not...
What could be more important than this show?
Oh, they're leaving? Already?
Hey, wow. It's a good you thing we opened the bar so early.
You guys really got mad at the people changing seats.
I'll do it in their language. Shut the fuck up.
Okay. But this job was not based on Nathaniel's medical abilities.
Of course not. That's a known factor in this.
King George was the first... There's a word I don't know. Hanoverian king?
Eh?
Yeah. Of England, and brought many German advisors with him. So, you know, they all fucked each other in different countries.
Mm-hmm. This is where Dave breaks it down into my terminology.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
And then they were all kind of related, and then the Austrian king, German king, and so they rolled over here,
okay.
German and shit.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Awesome.
A little bit of Hungarian.
Yeah, okay. Well, you got the Spanish. Smooth talk of a surgeon over here.
Yeah.
So he brings German advisors with him because that's what he feels comfortable with. Nathaniel became the royal court's favorite because most of them didn't bother to learn English.
Okay.
Oh, right, and he did at least actually speak those languages.
Yeah,
so.
That's all right. He had, right.
And Nathaniel was a shameless brown noser. He flattered the members of the court with his perfect German. 3 years later, in 1726, Nathaniel's career reached its peak when the king consulted with him about an ailment, and Nathaniel successfully cured him. We have no idea what the ailment was. It's not part of the record, but everyone assumes it was something very minor.
Right. Have to be. Yeah. Did people expect results back then when they went to a doctor?
Oh, good God,
where
no.
It's like, I checked it off the list. I went to the doctor. It's still all brown.
I'm dying
out,
still, but I went there.
You really only went to the doctor if you had something really tiny or you're like, it's over. So you might as well just cut this
if
stuff off.
If you had
off.
A thing that could be popped.
like your favorite show, Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was on your TV here the other day, and...
And it has the Law & Order music. It's really weird. I don't know how... It's super weird.
I tried to watch... Because I was flipping through, and it came on. I was like,
course.
I'm going to try to watch a second.
That's how we've all
I'm
handled it.
I'm going to try to watch it. Fucking instantly had to change the channel. I mean, I won't even tell you what I saw out of respect for your souls. It was so... fucking disgusting.
That must be what their ratings are. It's just a lot of people have watched it for 5 seconds.
I remember I got in trouble because Comedy Central showed a commercial for some of my stand-up too early once, so Ofcom, like, slapped me on the wrist, but yet you can squeeze fucking gallons of oatmeal out of a man's shoulder and nobody goes to jail?
Oatmeal. That's... But I think you might be a surgeon. That's very specific, Mr.
But that's,
Delaney.
That's how I describe your stand-up to people.
Gallons of oatmeal.
Okay. That's perfect.
So
King George, after that, gave Nathaniel a sword as a thanks, and the medical world looked upon him with envy and indignation.
Oh, sure. The old thank you sword.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yep.
Who get Ross Perot gave Bernie Sanders a sword.
Is that true?
And he has it in his office.
Oh, what? My God, use yeah, that yeah. thing.
Yeah, back when it was George Bush Sr. versus Bill Clinton,
yeah.
This Texan oil billionaire yeah. named Ross Perot.
We
was
did
like,
an episode on Ross.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so you know more than I do.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyway, but, he gave a sword to Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders still will occasionally wield that sword.
He was so tiny. It must have been like, I mean, those two, it's probably a butter knife that they're like handing to each other when you get the scale right.
Not only was he a foreigner who was adored by British royals, but he also achieved meteoric success as a surgeon without a single medical credential.
Well done.
It wasn't necessarily his personality. According to the Dictionary of National Biography, he was, quote, especially disliked for his ignorance, foul mouth, and lecherousness.
He's just got the X factor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nathaniel was very dramatic. He once claimed that, quote, he had been decoyed and poisoned by the hired hand of some adversary. Okay. Adversary. It's a weird, it's not spelled right.
Anniversary.
Yeah, it should be, It should be,
Adversary.
Yeah, it should be adversary. So after drinking a liquor offered to him when he visited a patient, he was attended to by another doctor who recorded, quote, Nathaniel passed the night without any sleep and complained of racking pains in his limbs. He had, in that morning, 6 very sharp stools, which sunk his strength and gave him a falling down of the anus.
Oh my. Wait.
I'm imagining Michael Douglas, the film Falling Down of the Anus.
That's the porn version. And who is saying that about him? Someone who's clearly a doctor who knows about the body.
6 sharp stools.
And then his anus dropped like a transmission.
The best is that he counted all 6.
Yeah.
I'd be like, a pile of sharp stool.
No.
Let's parse it out. There's 6.
I'm a doctor.
Half a dozen.
Boy, look at these. They're like
devilish
little
swords. Eggs of shit. Sorry.
Are you ready? There's more. And gave him a falling down of the anus, which was so relaxed that a man's fingers might pass into the rectum or
that
straight
very,
gut.
They might. Yeah, I mean, obviously that guy fingered him. I mean, 100% he got fingered. Without question, that guy fingered him.
In the terms of bases, you know, for French kisses, first kiss, is that like fucking, I don't know, like flooding the dugout? What do you call that one?
Storming the field.
Oh, Jesus. Upsetting the hot dog cart.
It's almost like you could get 2 fingers in there if you tried.
Yeah.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Jim. What happened to your anus?
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I've been shitting swords all morning.
So that obviously sounds bad. But he was never in danger of dying, as the doctor noted that, quote, the symptoms occasioned by the poison were overcome, and he may perfectly recover his health.
What?
So his anus fell back up?
Yeah. I mean, how did...
I think you can just suck it in.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not holiday weight.
You get a big muscular executioner to suck in your mouth.
Put a straw in him. There you go. Give it a hit. Take a rip.
Thank you, Sir Roger. But Nathaniel went ahead and wrote a detailed account of the alleged poisoning and demanded it be read to the royal court.
Read this.
Read the part about my asshole.
This is the most important story you'll ever hear. Go ahead. Tell them about the sharp poops. You get ready for the end. You're not going to see this coming. I sure didn't.
Your Highness, I don't ask a lot of you, but please, I beg you, read this.
It's the greatest asshole story you've ever heard.
Oh my God.
And I would like to request it to be known as the Royal Butthole. He also, quote, published lengthy accounts in which he gave, in astonishing detail, a day-by-day record of his heroic struggle against death and called attention to how much he was favored by the king and how intimate his relationships were with important members of the court. The Privy Council eventually offered a 200-pound reward for the capture of the poisoner. He or she was never found. This made a lot of people think the entire episode was fake so Nathaniel could get his name discussed by the public because he wanted to advertise his medical practice.
But could you not pick a better story to make up rather than like, my anus popped out of me. Tell him, everyone hear this.
Yeah.
I'm the guy from this. Couldn't you be like, my eye fell out. This is a story about when my eye fell out of my head.
Well, it worked. Mary Denyer was born in 1701 to John and Jane Denyer in Godalming? 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 Sure. Godalming, Surrey, about 40 miles outside of London. It was one of the poorest towns in the country. Mary led a miserable and punishing existence. Each morning, she had to walk 2 hours to work in a hop field for over 12 hours.
This is the story your grandparents tell you every time about how they grew up already.
She could not read or write and was, quote, of healthy, strong constitution, of a small size, and of a very stupid and sullen temper.
Ooh, is she single?
She has a stupid temper?
Yeah.
Okay.
When she was 17, she married a lowly journeyman clothier. Clothier? Whatever. He made clothes.
Sure.
He was a guy who went around from town to town making clothes. His name was Joshua Toft. He was 18. They had 3 kids. And when Mary was 25, in August of 1726, she got pregnant again. Now, 18th century English law was not kind to pregnant women. If you were pregnant and a peasant, legally you had to keep working the fields throughout the entire pregnancy.
We still have that in America.
Yes. That's totally America. Many complained about pain and health complications early on in the pregnancy. Sorry, Mary. And then she had a miscarriage during her first trimester. But despite having miscarried, local townspeople claimed Mary still looked pregnant a month later.
Okay.
And then 3 weeks later, again, out came a few pieces of flesh, of which one was, quote, as big as her arm.
Wait.
Mary called it a monster.
I mean, what?
Fleshy arm monster.
What?
Arm-sized things aren't supposed to come out of you in the first trimester.
Okay. I always say that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mr. Delaney.
Yeah, certainly with that medical skill. Okay, so she's...
Sure.
Yeah. I'd like to know more.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think you've piqued interest, David.
Quote, the symptoms of the pregnancy persisted. However, in the early part of September, whilst working in the hop fields, milk flowed profusely from her breasts.
What? I'm not. No, I just thought, that. I'm passing on that. No, I'm not. You will not get a high five on that.
Oh.
Dude.
Okay, I thought.
So she's giving birth to arms and her nipples are just leaking?
So far, that's the story.
Okay. Still beats what happened to the surgeon. I'd rather that.
This did not feel like a normal pregnancy to her. And
really? What was like going on? But I mean, I think if you were to flag something as far as being different, what would it be?
I mean, let's not be judgmental.
Yeah.
But okay.
The delusional nipples, the arms coming out of
her? Let's just say she's had 3 kids, so this one feels a little different.
Sure, sure. Yeah, okay.
Because the others were fully formed children and not just arm-length flesh.
Yeah.
Right.
On the 27th of September, she was taken very ill during the night. That night, Mary called in her neighbor, Mary Gill. And Gill watched in horror as Mary went into labor and gave birth to what appeared to be several animal parts.
Dave.
Oh, Christ.
Okay,
Christ.
What did you eat? Okay. Okay. So I think, medically speaking, this is...
Yeah, we're sure she's not just doing big solid peas.
Yeah, yeah. Or is a prop comic? What kind of animal parts?
Well, Gil went to Mary's mother-in-law, Ann Toft, who was a midwife.
Oh, good.
And showed her what Mary had given birth to.
As a midwife,
get a load of this.
That's coming out of Mary. Oh my God, it's got a voice. Yeah.
Mommy!
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's a lot of teeth coming out of there.
Anne immediately sent a sample to John Howard, who was a male midwife in Guilford. He had 30 years of experience, so she's going to the top dog.
Sure.
At first, John dismissed the idea that Mary had given birth to animal parts.
Sure.
So
an experienced midwife, in other words.
Still, the next day, he arrived to investigate the claim.
Jesus.
And showed John the rest of the pieces. Quote, he diligently searched the whole vagina.
It took a while. He gave it a good...
I've done that.
He's got a spelunker's hat on. Yeah. All right, I'm going back in, Mary. We'll see what's in there. I want to find the whole thing, too.
It's okay, I'm a male midwife.
Don't worry.
He found nothing.
Yeah. Is somewhere just like a goat shitting baby ears? On the flip of this?
Then, as John was preparing to leave, Mary went into labor again.
Oh, no, what?
And she delivered, quote, 3 legs of a cat.
Well, I mean, well, of course.
He's making a sitcom face.
Dave, you're reading a crazy thing.
3 legs of a cat of a tabby color and 1 leg of a rabbit. The guts were as a cat's, and in them were 3 pieces of the backbone of an eel.
Okay, now this is getting weird.
Is she an ecosystem? I'm telling you right now.
You know, so my wife had 4 kids.
Yep. Anything like this?
Via pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just reminded, I remember one time we heard like, hey, and remember, if you go down, they told us this in our birth class, like, hey, if you go down on your wife when she's pregnant, don't blow up there, or air bubbles could explode and kill her. And so we're like, fuck off. I'm blowing air up there. No. No, we're like, all right, well, I never do that anyway, but we're like, also, you're insane. But we looked it up. Yeah. And you really can't do that, so don't do that, guys. But also, I'm just thinking, like, so now I'm thinking she's putting stuff up there, or somebody is, but I was taught, don't even blow up there. And here's this lady putting farm stuff in. No!
She might have gotten blown up there. Someone might have blown up there, and this is what happens.
Yeah.
So I wish I had known this before, but it makes sense now. That's what happened to my first 6 wives. Now I know.
Yeah.
Don't try to inflate them. They're not
only
through
the vagina. you can blow in any other hole except the vagina.
It's just for nine months during pregnancy.
But it's like my thing. It's my technique.
I know it is. I know.
I'm not telling you to not blow into women.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah.
Are you coming yet?
Yeah. Who doesn't want a Dizzy Gillespie their wife? Yeah. Just. Have at it. I'm hoping we get resolution.
So after all of these animal parts came out, John decided he would look further into this situation.
Oh, shit.
I thought he was exploring the whole vagina.
Put on my waders.
Well, he did. He explored the vagina, he found nothing, and he was going to leave. And then she's like, oh, here's cats and a rabbit and part of an eel.
Oh, man.
An eel.
Yep. Over the next few days, Mary's health deteriorated as she gave birth to more pieces of rabbit.
What?
Good Christ.
John pickled the animal parts and kept them in a jar.
Well,
sound sensible. Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, he's a male midwife of 30 years.
Yeah, and he's never been here before. This is new.
Yep.
Yeah. I certainly think pickling them is not a great idea, but maybe. Who knows?
Because giving birth to animal parts was not normal... Word spread, and on November 4th, a member of King George's court, Henry Davenant, went to see Mary for himself. She was now being called, quote, the rabbit breeder.
Well, at least people were empathetic to what was happening.
That's right. After being shown the parts, Henry was convinced and went back to London with the news. John Howard moved Mary to Guildford, where his practice was, so he could offer her his services and care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Henry Davenant requested any updates regarding Mary's condition from John, and John wrote to him often. In one letter, John said, quote, "Sir, since I wrote to you, I have taken or delivered the poor woman of 3 more rabbits. All 3 half-grown, one of them a dun rabbit, the last leaped 23 hours in the uterus before it died. As soon as the 11th rabbit was taken away..."
Oh, my God.
Yes.
11.
As soon as the 11th
Is
rabbit...
Is she a rabbit?
As soon as the 11th rabbit was taken away, up leaped the 12th rabbit, which is now leaping.
Wait, which is now what?
Leaping.
This woman's like, fuck
yeah,
this.
Yeah, she is like... I mean, running.
Running. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
running.
Yeah.
Out
running.
Of the
running.
Running. I'm sorry. At the end there, before that woman fled...
I probably should have done a trigger warning for anybody who's given birth to rabbits.
Or has eaten. The rabbit leapt, is it?
They're saying her stomach's moving.
Like she's got...
They're seeing...
She's got bunny tummy.
Bunny tummy. That's right. That's the technical term, yes. Up leaped the 12th rabbit, which is now leaping. If you have any curious person that is pleased to come post, may see another leap in her uterus and shall take it from her if he pleases, which will be a great satisfaction to the curious. If she has been with child, if she had been with child, she has but 10 days more to go, so I do not know how many rabbits may be behind. I, sir, your humble servant, John Howard.
You know what I think? I think at night she's going out and fucking the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The public learned of Mary's rabbits' births in London on November 19th, 1726, after an article in Miss Weekly Journal. Quote,
finally, covering the hard-hitting stories.
From Guildford comes a strange but well-attested piece of news that a poor woman, a woman who lives in Godalming, well, I fucked that up, Godalming?
I can't even...
Godalming, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't, does it? It really fucking doesn't.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hug you later.
Yeah, that is... That's the best Dave's ever received anyone on the show.
Delivered by Mr. John Howard, an eminent surgeon and man midwife, a creature resembling a rabbit, one in each day. In all 9, they died all in bringing into the world. R.I.P. rabbits. Even the British royal family was intrigued by Mary's story.
How is it everybody should
oh,
be
love
like,
that
what
shit,
is going
though.
On? Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they can't get enough.
This was especially true since at the time, quote, interest in monstrosities and willingness to pay to see them was common in Europe. Monstrous or deformed people had been exhibited at a price all over Europe for hundreds of years, with poor and wealthy alike equally fascinated. So people are into this shit.
Yeah, it's interesting that there's a market.
King,
there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. King George wanted to be involved in this lady having rabbit story.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get your name on this one ASAP.
So he sent Nathaniel St. Andre, who was still a surgeon to the royal household, to investigate.
And by still a surgeon, you mean not at all a surgeon.
That's right.
Right, right.
Nathaniel was joined by Samuel Molyneux, secretary to the Prince of Wales. When they arrived, John brought Nathaniel and Samuel to Mary's bedside. Within hours, she delivered a rabbit's torso.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
Just the torso.
Okay.
Not the other parts.
All right, yeah, I overreacted.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one that broke you. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Okay.
To check if the rabbit had ever breathed, Nathaniel placed a piece of its lung in water to see if it would float. And it did float.
Is that...
That's a thing.
It is, okay. Because that feels very witch trial-y to me.
Later that day, Mary gave birth to another rabbit torso and experienced violent contractions.
Yeah, I would imagine. She's getting rabbits out of her.
Nathaniel personally delivered some rabbit skin and a rabbit's head. He also, quote, examined Mary's abdomen closely, noting some irregularities at the site of one of her ovaries. Taking into
account... Was it a rabbit? This guy's really good at his job. You know, there's something wrong with your stomach, I'm noticing. Not sure what it is.
Nathaniel placed a piece of its... Oh, I already did that. Sorry. Okay. Taking into account the pulsating movement in her belly, the man of science presumed that the rabbits were formed in the ovaries and made their way to freedom by jumping down the fallopian tubes.
Okay.
Of course.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, okay. Now I'm on board.
Yeah. I agree. I think a minute I was like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, but now... that he recognizes that the fallopian tubes are bunny trails.
That's right. Well, now it makes sense.
Yeah, and they're just hippity-hoppity down the fallopian tube.
Yeah.
It's actually fun because it's like, you know, we're always trying to find the Easter bunny's eggs, but now it's payback
hop,
time.
Hop, little bunny, hop, yeah. Hop, hop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now the bunny's finding the eggs, yeah.
An account was written by S.A. Seligman. Says, 2 hours later, quote, Mary's pains returned violently, and she delivered the lower part of a male rabbit, which fitted perfectly the trunk that was delivered earlier.
I like that you have to point out it's a male, too. Like, that matters at this point. Like, you know, it's crazy. It was a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that wild?
John and Nathaniel examined the births together. They observed that, quote, the rectum contained several pellets resembling common rabbit's dung. This was also present in the guts of other rabbits together, with a dirty colored mucus-like meconium. In the guts of the first rabbit, they found a slender, brittle, white body resembling small fish bones.
Remember when that guy's anus dropping was insane? Like 9 minutes ago was the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Sharp poops.
And sharp poops. Now I'm like, give me the sharp poops. Let's go back to sharp poops. Jesus.
Mary had many more contractions throughout the evening. Some were, quote, so violent that 4 or 5 people could hardly confine her to a chair. Get her out of the chair.
chair. And also, shouldn't she be laying down?
Yeah.
All right, quick, get her sitting up. We're doctors. She should be on her head right now. Let's do this.
Here's a stool.
Here, quick, sit on the stool. Yeah, on your knees. Get on your knees on the stool.
Yeah.
After each animal part was delivered, Nathaniel would examine Mary, quote, and he found the vagina empty. And all the rabbits were examined and kept in separate pots with wine.
No longer jars. Okay. We're
with
doing
wine?
Pots now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, dokie.
I like that's the thing that threw you off.
There's a lot of things, but I mean, I just don't think there's any medical upside to being like, put it in the Merlot ASAP. Let's get going. Let it breathe, too. Let
no, Pinot Grigio.
Okay. Let's do a bunch. Then one of each.
The doctors all reported unusual findings.
Yeah, no shit.
The different body parts appeared to come from both cats and rabbits.
Mm-hmm. I think they were fighting.
Oh, that's fucking old McDonald up in there.
Vaginas are mysterious things.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can't blow in them, but there's rabbits, I guess. I don't know. I thought I understood them.
At this point, they should blow into it. Just fucking see
it. How great would it be if they found out that her husband blew into it?
Their age of gestation ranged from 2 to 4 months. Some were fetuses, and when they put the pieces together, it produced a complete rabbit.
The worst puzzle ever.
Hey, kids, come in here. We got a new puzzle.
No, there's no box. There's 5 pieces.
Go ahead. No, that one has a penis. Try the other bottom half. No. Why would you put a cat on a rabbit torso?
Can I get into bed now? No, stay sitting. What are you talking about?
Nathaniel took several specimens for himself and eagerly returned to London. Within days, he wrote a complete account of his experience titled A Short Narrative of an Extraordinary Delivery of Rabbits performed by Mr. John Howard, Surgeon at Guildford. It's a good book.
It's very clear. You know what you're getting.
Yeah. No surprises there.
Yeah.
Nathaniel even performed anatomical demonstrations on the rabbit parts throughout the week in London.
What does that mean?
I think he's putting them, I think he's bringing people over and being like, see, they go together.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And this one goes, hoppity, 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 hoppity.
You know, my anus fell out of me once.
When this news was reported to King George, he sent surgeon and skeptic Cyriacus Ahlers, that's a fucked up name, to Guildford. Upon arriving, Cyriacus noted Mary showed no signs of pregnancy and immediately suspected it was a hoax.
Great.
So we finally have a guy who's like, something's weird here.
Yeah.
Well, everyone else is like, get it in wine. He's like, hold on, I think... Feels weird.
I don't think it's weird. We've been putting them together, and they turn. It's a rabbit when they...
No. Let's examine.
In his notes, he wrote that Mary seemed to be pressing her knees and thighs together often as if to prevent something from, quote, dropping down.
Like her anus.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Try everything.
Cyriacus was also suspicious of John, who would not let him deliver any of the animal parts, saying he had no knowledge of midwifery.
Okay, right.
Sensing there was tension between himself and the believers, Cyriacus lied and said he, quote, was fully convinced and satisfied that the flesh came out of the uterus and rejected the possibility it could have been forced or thrust into the uterine cavity.
Okay, right.
He then asked if he could examine Mary. He's like, guys, I'm on your side here. This is clearly rabbits coming out of your lady.
I don't think that's weird. Let me look. Essentially.
John again rejected his request, but offered to let Cyriacus stay the night in case Mary went into labor again. Cyriacus then said he had a sore throat and headache and should go back to London. That's something when you're scared people are going to kill you.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to. No, I. I don't want to spend the night.
I'm coming down with something.
Yeah, I got a thing.
Yeah. Also, that I mean, like saying you feel sick in front of someone who's technically birthing rabbit parts is probably like.
Yeah.
You think you have it bad?
Yeah.
He secretly stole some of the specimens so he could study them himself. When Cyriacus completed his examination in London, he found evidence of cuts on the flesh caused by man-made instruments.
Okay. So,
okay.
A little weird.
So they're chopping them up. She probably tried with a full rabbit first, couldn't do it, and then had to cut it in half. And then jam it up there. I mean, I know that people are laughing, but that's actually probably true.
I totally agree. I 100% agree. That she was like, no, too much. He's like, well, what are we going to do? Just do legs?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Gotta
I think
something.
That's going to raise some more.
What am I going to not have animal parts come out of my vagina? It would be ridiculous.
No, I agree. I agree.
Chop it up.
All right, well, here, let's
chop
start
it
with
up.
Cat
get
legs.
Me a stool.
Here, let's do five cat legs. How's that? Blowing it. I mean, I don't know if I.
He also found that the dung pellets from the rectum of one of the rabbits Mary had given birth to had corn, hay, and straw inside.
Well. Okay. Isn't
also, that... one of the things had fucking fish bones earlier, right? So
this proved it couldn't have been couldn't have developed in Mary as a fetus. In late November,
a rabbit totally could, but
and now I've got proof.
Yeah.
In late November, Cyriacus reported his findings to the king and several other elite members of British society. When John discovered some samples were missing, he wrote an angry letter to Cyriacus, demanding they be safely
How
returned.
How very dare you take my wife's vaginal rabbit bits?
Sir, in all my years of midwifing.
Sir, bring me back my pussy rabbit!
But that, I mean, he's keeping major tabs on the rabbit parts, too.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So he's
I
very
will
aware.
Not warn you again.
You call yourself a doctor?
It's hoplifting. Fuck you.
Nathaniel was ordered back to Guildford. There, John told Nathaniel that two more rabbits had been delivered during his absence. And he suspected there were none left. Quote, as if there...
There can't be.
As if there was no longer any motion in the uterus. While Nathaniel was there, he completed... Mary complained of abdominal pain on the right side. She said it felt like coarse brown paper was being torn inside of her.
Very specific.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Familiar with the sensation.
And then out came a bag. The contraction pain was accompanied by some bloody effusion.
Great. Yeah.
That is bothering everyone? That,
that's
blood?
Normal.
Yeah.
That happens when a healthy human little person comes out of this. That's fine. Yeah. I'm okay with this.
Same. Well, that happens. That's
rabbit lungs bothersome.
Yeah. Quote, she was still in much pain with an irregular pulse, a white tongue, and blood and mucus in the urine.
Okay. All right.
Which is hot.
Yeah, I'm like, where, how did she not die of sepsis 27 times in this story? Just been a bunch of trash and dead shit. Oh my God.
Because he knew Cyriacus had stolen samples, Nathaniel got affidavits from several witnesses to cast doubt on Cyriacus' suspicions.
Imagine getting subpoenaed for this. Boss, I can't come in today. I've been ordered to the...
He was hoping to make Cyriacus' findings unreliable. When Nathaniel returned to London, he performed an anatomical demonstration before the king in support of Mary. King George was unsure what to believe. So he ordered Nathaniel to bring Mary to London so she could be observed by a knighted obstetrician. I cut the guy's name off. Sir Richard something, blah, blah, blah.
Mary, we honor his legacy.
Yes, we honor his legacy. I'm sure if he's listening, he's like, that's cool. I don't have to be a part of it. You don't, yeah.
if he's listening, there's a big problem.
Yeah. Mary was brought to London the following day. When the obstetrician, Sir Richard, examined Mary, he found that the right side of the abdomen was slightly enlarged, and soon after, she delivered what he thought was a hog's bladder.
Wow. I mean, they know it sweeps. Yeah, they're like, we're going big. We're going to the kingdom. Let's No, we're not doing cat legs anymore.
Good old instantly recognizable hog's bladder.
Yeah, right away. Yeah.
Doesn't look like a goat's bladder.
No, that's a hog bladder. That's a hog bladder.
He told the others, he said he didn't think it had come from the uterus. Quote, this upset Mary Toft, and she began to cry.
Oh,
that's my baby you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
Sir Richard asked her
what
why...
What are you going to call it?
Hog blah.
Okay.
Sir Richard asked her why she was crying, but she did not answer.
I've been going through a lot.
Yeah, I mean, is that... Like, what's bothering you, Mary?
Where do I begin?
First of all my cats seem to be running away.
Yeah. Well, not running. Falling away. Mm-hmm.
A woman present told him it was because she supposed he thought Mary was a cheat. Mm-hmm. He asked for a hog's bladder, which they brought him, having one in the house, which made him very suspicious.
Sure, yeah, right, obviously. Yeah, you've all got those.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Do you have a hog's bladder?
Near the pickles.
Because Mary was now in London, the story became a national phenomenon overnight. Some publications were skeptical. Others were completely convinced. Mm-hmm. And some, like the Norwich Gazette, said the affair was, quote, nothing more than female gossip.
You know it's how like, ladies are.
There's like 23 men in the story, and it's female gossip.
Yeah. You know how ladies gossip.
Either way, Mary's story resulted in the sudden disappearance all over London of dishes like rabbit stew. And jugged hair.
Wow.
They were no longer on menus. Everyone's like, yeah, we're not serving that. Mary became quite the attraction in London. Writer John Harvey wrote, quote, every creature in town, both men and women, have been to see and feel her.
By the way, those are just the two genders. That's not every creature.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
God, it's getting all... Weird about horses.
I mean, no, you're just like, every creature, like swamp people are coming to see her. Mummies.
What?
I don't know. I think I made the shift to monsters in my head at some point.
I've been to see and feel her. The perpetual emotions, noises, and rumblings in her belly are something prodigious. All the eminent physicians, surgeons, and midwives in London are there day and night to watch her next production.
Her next production. Wow. Okay.
Show. In the final days of November, Mary was moved to a bathhouse in London where she was examined frequently by as many as 10 doctors at a time.
Oh, boy.
Jesus. Yeah, now she's getting gang examined.
Yeah.
All of them were men. One of them was the controversial Dr. Mabray. Dr. Mabray had written The Female Physician, which proposed that certain women could give birth to a creature he called a suitorkin.
Oh, boy.
A suitorkin...
yep, let's have it.
...was a small, mouse-like animal that developed in female wombs via maternal impression.
Maternal impression?
This is a prevalent belief to explain monstrous births.
Swamp people.
Quote, the mother's imagination had the power to mark or even shape her fetus. Mabray warned pregnant women, quote, not to please themselves so much in playing with dogs, squirrels, apes, etc., lest
they're... Apes? We'll play with apes? What sort of pregnant woman's going on an ape play date? All right, honey, I'm going to go play with the gorilla.
Rubbing mushed up banana. Anyway.
Lest their child resemble its mother's favorite pet.
What the... Okay, so he believes you can... If you think... You can manifest your baby into animals?
So they're trying...
And that you need to put a disclaimer to a pregnant woman to not play with apes?
So they're...
By the way, I don't know what your ape playing life is like, but that's for 9 months off.
Less caffeine and...
No ape fun.
You gotta
I know, it's
not
a sacrifice.
Forever.
It's not
forever.
It's a sacrifice.
it's a way to blame the woman for birth defects, right?
Right.
Yeah, totally.
But he could have said that. He could have said, like, hey, don't picture your child defective. You know, instead he's like, it'll be a mouse. And if you do not, it'll be a mouse baby.
A prominent midwife text titled Impressions of Pregnating Women on Their Fetus said, when the body was forming the fetus, if the woman was surprised or frightened by an unseemly sight, this would happen. Quote, the humors and spirits presently retired downwards and, as it were, abscond themselves in the recesses of the womb.
Yes.
From whence immediately a strong imagination of the disagreeable thing, whether seen or heard, seizes her mind, and the forming faculty quickly impresses.
Yes.
And the shape and form of that thing seen upon the fetus.
Right? All right. Yep. So, yeah, okay, I agree with that.
Yeah. It really makes you understand how Nathaniel is able to become a surgeon so easily. When it's like, if you think that, your thoughts will go down from your brain into the recesses of your womb.
Yeah.
It's, you have mind spirits.
So this pamphlet was incredibly popular.
Pamphlet.
Many people believed newly pregnant women had to be stimulated with a beautiful object so they would produce a beautiful child. Now, you said my dick was beautiful once, right? This
I mean,
theory,
that's a high-stakes gift, too. That's like, get it right.
That's right. This theory, what if you think a monkey's beautiful?
Well, I've got bad news for you, Jack. You're looking at
you're
mouse
gonna be
critters.
Looking at one as you raise it.
Oh, I wish you hadn't played with that ape. I love you too, Oliver. Let's go.
This theory gained more popularity because of the famous Elephant Man. An Englishman with severe facial and body deformities who was exhibited at freak shows and circuses. In his autobiography, he claimed, quote, the deformity which I am now exhibiting was caused by my mother being frightened by an elephant.
Wow.
My mother was going along the street when a procession of animals was passing by, which happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a terrible crush of people to see them, and unfortunately, she was pushed under the elephant's feet, which frightened her very much.
It is scary to have them walk on you.
Yeah. I think potentially that was also at play was when the womb was crushed.
Yeah.
This occurring during a time of pregnancy was the cause of my deformity.
So nobody told her, don't go play with elephants, which that's again, right. Yeah.
Mary's case supported this argument. Mary said 2 months before she was working in a field with other women when they saw a rabbit.
There it is. Yeah, I mean,
all right.
Whoopsies.
Now, that was food, so they chased it but did not catch it. Quote, this created in her such a longing to it that she, being with child, was taken ill and miscarried, and from that time she hath not been able to avoid thinking of rabbits.
Right.
But we are overlooking the 5 cat legs and eel spine. I feel like they didn't get it. Like, if you were just going to do all, like, why the cat legs? Thank you.
Nature is a mysterious thing.
It seems evil.
That night, Mary dreamed she was in a field with 2 rabbits in her lap, and then she woke up sick. From that day forward, for over 3 months, she had a constant desire to eat rabbits, but since she was poor, she couldn't afford rabbit.
Well, good news, Mary. You're going to be the gift that keeps on giving, rabbit-wise. You're going to... We could run a restaurant out of there. We need 2 more legs. Hold on. How are they liking it? They're loving it out there, Mary. It's going really good.
They love the way it's marinated.
Mm-hmm. It's Dave. Marinated.
So Richard went back to the White Hart Inn, where Mary was now staying, and he told colleagues, quote, the more he thought about it, the more convinced he became that the membrane he had removed had never been in the uterus, but was a piece of hog's bladder, which had been skillfully conveyed into the vagina.
Well, there's no other way to get it in there. You gotta be, can't be haphazard.
Richard and Nathaniel then had a...
I think we all know what that medical noise was. That's how you know we got it in. Wait for the sound.
Sir Richard and Nathaniel then had a heated argument. Nathaniel said he had personally removed rabbit from her uterus, and he was convinced.
You son of a bitch.
How dare you question me?
And while it looked like an adult rabbit, it had organs that were definitely fetal. Nathaniel and the other believers convinced Sir Richard not to make a public announcement until the, quote, whole labor was complete, or until such a time as he had further evidence that it was fraudulent, as a premature announcement would prevent the truth being discovered. Sir Richard agreed to this.
Just chill for now.
Yeah. And they're saying wait until she's... through labor?
Yeah.
Which could be years at this point.
Yeah, we don't know how long a woman...
Yeah, every day she's popping out a couple.
Yeah, a woman could give birth to rabbits for as far as...
Decades.
I know, decades.
Decades, yeah.
Yeah.
Richard requested Mary be brought to Mr. Lacey Bagnio in Leicester Fields for observation. I don't know what that is. Lester?
I think
Lester?
So, yeah.
Yeah, Lester. Did it say Lester Field? We don't have a monitor up here, and I can't hear you terribly well.
Yeah.
So I'm reading lips.
Yep. I said it right then.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Nubbleman asked for seats to watch. They were very excited. The least excited men in London were the Warreners and the Poulterers, whose business had plummeted since the news went wide.
What are they?
So Warreners are people who raise rabbits.
Okay.
And Poulterers are people who raise chickens, and no one is buying rabbits or chickens to eat.
Why are chickens? Why is the chicken economy taking
Everything's
a hit?
Everything's taking a hit. Once rabbits start coming out of vaginas, people are like, where are all the other animals coming from?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a chicken are the rabbit of the sky, so right, that's why.
And you've always said that as well. Yeah, that's another. Are you talking sky rabbits? No, we don't serve those anymore.
Richard sought the advice of one of the country's most respected surgeons and a well-known man midwife who specialized in female pelvic organs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of male midwives being consulted.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had assumed...
They're mid-husbands, really. I'll leave.
Mid-bros.
See you guys later.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Yes, I'm an expert on female pelvic organs.
Uh-huh. And why?
Well, I like to fuck.
This man's a doctor.
He had assumed it was a hoax since the beginning, since he'd heard about it, and he kept his distance. But Richard brought some of the hog and hoped James would back him up.
I know what'll convince him.
I mean, that's a weird thing to say, but yeah, he brought some of the hog.
Sure.
So now this guy, James, is involved. On December 1st, Mary's violent contractions returned.
Uh-oh.
Both Richard and James confirmed it was labor. Mm-hmm. The new surgeon, James, refused to discuss his findings with Nathaniel, despite Nathaniel being annoying and continually asking him. James, quote, thought that a woman giving birth to rabbits was as likely as a rabbit giving birth to a human child.
So, yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that happened!
Yeah, right.
But publicly, he also remained neutral.
Sure, okay.
On December 4th, four doctors...
Which is tough to do.
Yeah, it really is. On December 4th, four doctors, including Richard and James, performed a thorough examination of Mary's uterus.
Jesus, she must be having a good... She's like, and again? I mean, I know she's lying, but still.
All of London at this point has been looking around at her vagina.
Yeah. At some point, another surgeon's going to come out and be like, sorry, I think I found something. Oh, were you guys looking? Yeah, go ahead. I've just been in there for a week. I'm out of sandwiches. Plum out.
I can't believe you guys didn't come looking for me when I didn't come out.
They opened a KFC in there. Yeah.
There was new swelling, which means something new might be coming.
Oh, dear.
But suddenly, the pain vanished. But the doctors said they weren't going to leave until this was resolved. So it's a standoff.
Wow.
This is a classic vaginal standoff.
Yeah.
Well, we're not leaving until something comes out of you, Mary. We're your friends. We're your allies in this.
I got all the time in the world.
It better be good, too, because we're not overwhelmed with the rabbit stuff anymore. We're looking for something like a puma or something we need. Oh, there we go. Were you playing with monkeys while pregnant?
Tension built.
Mm-hmm.
Nathaniel said he was, quote, bullied and insulted by the dissenting medical men. Now, while all this is going on, there is a man named Baron Thomas Onslow who was investigating the case.
Sure.
Asking questions.
Okay.
He learned that for the past month, Mary's husband had been buying young rabbits.
Oh, shit.
Dun, dun.
And then the Mr. Lacey Bagnio's porter confessed he had been bribed by Mary's sister-in-law to sneak a rabbit into Mary's chamber.
That's what she calls it.
When you say chamber...
I meant the bedroom. I'll do the rest. Oh, okay. I was kind of excited. Okay, either way.
This statement was made under oath before a justice of the peace.
Uh-huh.
And Mary was arrested and questioned, but she denied it.
Well, because that's a tough thing to admit you've been doing.
Yeah, you should be able to, like, plead the fifth. You know how you can't incriminate your brother? When it comes, you should just not have to... Yeah,
I've been cramming rabbits in me hooch! Hello, governor!
Plus, what is the crime? Like, wasting fucking idiots' time?
Yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah.
It's the most fun they've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
It, like, powered the economy.
Yeah. It's a job creator.
Yeah.
What are you in for? I stabbed a man, you? I put like 90 rabbits in my cooch.
Oh, can I switch cells?
And some cats!
So then her sister-in-law was questioned, and she admitted getting the rabbit, but said it was just for eating. Ugh. And then Mary Toff said, that's right, it was for eating.
Yes, eating the rabbits.
Because remember, she craved rabbits, and she was still pregnant with rabbits.
Right.
2 days later, Mary was interrogated by Sir Richard. who, quote, threatened her with a horrible operation to explore her pelvic organs if she did not confess.
That's torture.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Witnesses said that Richard, quote, had promised to send a chimney sweep boy.
I'm sorry. No, Dave. Dave. No. That's it? That's tough. Well, we had a good run. So where's the chimney? It's there. Well, that's not a chimney. You're going to need to get up there. Get in there.
Get your brushes.
But my brushes are filthy. Get in her, boy. Look, you're preparing you. Get in there. There it is. He's in. I heard it. I heard the click. Well, it's a version of a click.
Richard, quote, had promised to send a chimney sweep boy up her fallopian tubes to explore them.
And was she like, I call your bluff? We're going to shrink him down with a laser.
Hello, missus.
We found the world's tiniest chimney sweep. 4 centimeters, and he's willing to take the job.
I'm a little chimney sweep. Climb into a vagina. James questioned Mary on 3 to 4 occasions for several hours. Finally, 3 days later, Mary confessed.
Wow.
Mary's testimony stated that after she miscarried, she was told by a female friend to pretend that she was giving birth to rabbits.
And that's a good pal. That's the kind of friend, someone you can lean on. I know you're down, but... Yeah.
You know, when Ted and I had our miscarriage,
it was
you
tough.
Know, I always wished I had put rabbit parts up my vagina.
Yeah,
yeah, so well, then you're home free.
Do what I didn't do.
I regret it every day of my life. Just so easy to do, too, which is what I think.
Quote, which she told her would occasion her no longer to work for her living and would undertake to furnish her with rabbits to carry on the deception on payment of part of the gain which she expected to receive from her service. So her friend's like, you put rabbits up your vagina.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make fucking money. You split it with me, I'll keep the rabbits coming. How could you say no to that?
Was Mary like, what's step two?
I mean, that's not worse than, like, Silicon Valley guys who come up with shitty apps to get rich.
No,
like,
it's not.
I don't, I'm not mad at her.
No, you don't hate the player, you hate the game. Yeah.
She's not hurting anyone else.
No. Well, rabbit-wise, maybe. Feels like a couple cats.
Yeah, the rabbits die in incredible pain and then are degraded beyond any possible imagination. Yeah. But other than that,
it's the story of a hero. A trailblazer.
A dreamer.
A dreamer.
Yeah.
Mary's midwife mother-in-law, Ann Toft, had cut up a dead cat, took out its guts and liver, and inserted the backbone of an eel into the cat intestines and pushed it into Mary. We call this a reverse. Yeah. It's a reverse baby.
Yeah, I did something similar in college when I couldn't get hard because I was too drunk. Anyway...
But, okay, wait, so her friend is like, put rabbits in you, and this lady is just like, well, they were out of rabbit, but plan B, what do we say to an eel spine and a bunch of cat legs? Is that gonna, I think just to start, let's see what it can take.
I mean, she took a cat, she took out all the guts, put a backbone of an eel.
An eel backbone.
Into the cat intestines.
Wait, a backbone of an eel's gotta be crazy.
And then push it into her vagina.
Or kicked it up or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, however. That's probably the breathing technique you were just speaking of.
I mean, that's just... The thing I'm taking away from this is that she had a really good relationship with her mother-in-law. Yeah. Like, she trusted her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because how many women here...
Dave, I don't know if you need to ask it. I don't know if you need to ask it. I don't even know if you need to ask it. I don't think it needs to be asked.
The hope was. The hope was this, quote, miraculous conception would bring wealth to the poor peasant family, right? Because monstrosities are a thing.
Sure, yeah. Right. Yeah. And classism, too.
Yeah. Mary called in her unknowing neighbor, Mary Gill, to witness the birth and substantiate it, and obviously from there it took off.
Mm-hmm. Well, define took off, but yes.
As the story caught on, Mary, quote, put quartered rabbit bodies into a special hair pocket inside her skirt and manually introduced them into herself whenever she was not closely being watched.
Okay. Well, it's
I mean, look, you knew that was coming.
Yeah, I mean, we're horrified but surprised, I don't think is right.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think she could be called the hair pocket at this point. What?
Wow.
It's just, I'm going to put this out there if
sure.
any young ladies are listening. This is very unsanitary.
Yeah, don't
yeah.
do this.
Oh,
we
yeah.
don't
seriously,
recommend
don't
this
do
at
this.
All.
Yeah. I know. I mean, like, and they took it far. Like, she succeeded. She met the king many times.
She was in the kingdom for
oh,
a
yeah.
while.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Still, though, don't do this.
Yeah. I think, I didn't know we'd have to do the disclaimer, but this podcast does not, we do not
yeah,
recommend
I absolutely
that.
Do
no,
not
absolutely
sanction
do
this
not
at
do
all.
That. Don't eel put, spines, you, give it a whirl. Try that. I think that, because they're small.
They're small.
They're small. Eels are tiny. They're like
oh,
worms.
You know, the jellied bendy. Eel place near where I live that had been open for like 110 years just closed. And I wouldn't eat there ever because
yeah.
I can't fucking eat an eel. Not that there's anything wrong with eating eels, but we don't eat them in America. So if you move here at 40, you just can't eat one. And but I was sad, you know, anyway.
And now
you can edit. Yeah. You can edit this out
when
you put it up on the...
No,
but,
it's very equal to the story we're hearing.
Yeah.
No.
It's almost
anyway,
the same thing.
I just want my offering context. Eels are still a big part of the British economy.
Anyway, also, Rob doesn't want to eat eels. So she had the hair pocket inside her skirt. She's putting the rabbits in there. Mary would then theatrically go into labor and push out the package.
Oh, God.
Quote, Mary was agreeably surprised that it took so little skill to fool such men as Howard and Nathaniel.
Well,
any idiot can jam a bunch of rubbish up their vagina.
Yeah. But this is the guy, this is the fencing teacher who had to quit fencing because a student almost killed him.
Yeah.
From fencing.
Yeah. The fraud became hard when she went to London because she had to get rabbit parts still, and her friend wasn't there, so... The group of doctors became impatient, and then she bribed the porter. And that was the end of her con. At that point, she had given birth to a total of 17 rabbits.
Ugh.
And that does not include other random animal parts like cat's legs and hog's bladder. Mary was charged as a, quote, notorious and vile cheat and imposter.
That's
and
a
what
charge?
About the doctors and the surgeons? What were they charged with?
Nothing.
Nothing? Continued to practice?
Just being rad.
Uh-huh, right. Not wanting to believe. Yeah.
They sent her to Tothill Fields Bridewell Prison. In jail, she was put on exhibit to large, curious crowds by the jailers, quote, like an animal in a cage. Mary placed the blame on a few people, her mother-in-law, John Howard, the wife of an organ grinder...
Right. Yeah.
There's no explanation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A mysterious traveling stranger who, quote, told Mary how to insert the rabbit parts into her body and how such a scheme would ensure that she would never want as long as she lived. So she was talking to a random stranger.
Yeah.
A new guy that she met. She's like, hey, how are you?
Good, you? Yes, lovely.
I'm just trying to figure out a way to make
you
my...
You know, it's not hard to put rabbit in a vagina.
Oh!
Yes. Pardon me?
It's not too difficult at all.
Thank you for confirming what I already thought.
Yep. Just cut them finely.
I support her taking everybody down. Which she's guilty of being fucking interesting and fun and giving people the story of a lifetime that centuries later a crowd of 700,000
thank you, Rob.
Thrilled
thank you, Rob.
To hear.
Thank you, Rob.
Fuck them.
Yeah, I agree. So on January 7th, 1727, Mary Peel appeared before the Courts of Quarter Sessions at Westminster and was officially charged, quote, for being an abominable cheat and imposter in pretending to be delivered on several monstrous births. She was fined 800 pounds, which is about 117,000 pounds today.
Oof.
But she was released 3 months later because the court wasn't sure what the charge should have been.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes, right. Right. Fooling everyone.
In the years after, the Duke of Richmond sometimes showed her at dinner parties for curious guests.
Oh, that's cool.
Mary was still, however, the target of satirists across England. They mocked her confession, her illiteracy, and hinted that she was promiscuous.
Oh, they wish they could pull that off. I'm firmly in her corner now.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm totally in her corner. She took risks.
Yeah. Boy, did she.
Yeah. But the doctors involved were the ones who became the real target of public mockery.
Good.
Good.
Yes.
Fuck doctors. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were drawings, entire newspapers, plays, poems, and even songs written.
That's great. It's an entertainment generator.
Oh, man.
The doctors began turning on each other. Cyriacus published some, quote, some observations concerning the woman of Godleyman in Surrey, tending to prove her extraordinary deliveries to be a cheat and imposture, which detailed his suspicions of both Nathaniel and John Howard. Sir Richard published an exact diary of what was observed during a close attendance upon Mary Toft, the pretended rabbit breeder in Surrey from Monday, November 28th to Wednesday, December
7th. We don't need the dates in your title, buddy.
He went after his friend and colleague, James Douglas, who he had brought in.
Right.
Who had been a vocal skeptic from the beginning and wanted to stay out of it. And then Sir Richard said James had been fooled by Mary.
That sucks.
Sir James then published under the pseudonym A Lover of Truth and Learning, a book called The Suderkin Dissected, and he attacked Dr. Mabry and the Suderkin theory. But the damage was done to the medical profession. Doctors not even connected to the Toft hoax printed statements saying they'd never met or believed Mary's story. The most famous satirist of all, William Hogarth, created a sketch showing physicians crowding around Mary's bedside in confusion. Some publications became collector's items and were bound in rabbit skin and sold for 15 to 20 guineas.
The ultimate indignity.
Yeah. Also, how great would it be to get a copy of that sketch? Sketch comedy in the 1700s?
Nathaniel St. Andre took the biggest hit, though. Mary's confession came 3 days after he published his 40-page pamphlet, in which he staked his reputation and inserted that his account of the case was the most valid.
That timing is not great.
Oh, that's bad timing.
How's the pamphlet doing? Did you hear? No.
He then desperately published the book, an advertisement stating that he was now thoroughly convinced that it was the most abominable fraud, and asking that his mistakes be excused and that he might be regarded as an innocent party to the guilty actors. I was just a guy. I came and then rabbits were coming out.
Yeah.
I'm not the bad guy.
Yeah. Read my book. I'm not stupid anymore.
A few days later, Nathaniel went to perform his duties at the royal court, but everyone there snubbed and insulted him. He then requested an audience with the king, and, quote, he received such an affront from the furious monarch that he never again dared set foot within the royal palace.
Finally.
His patience all left him, and he became the laughingstock of London.
Yes, he should have no patience.
Yep. Because he lived an expensive lifestyle, he quickly found himself living in poverty.
How long until he's putting rabbit parts in his butt? Huh? A miracle! Can you believe it?
But Nathaniel somehow kept his career. He somehow married the daughter of the Earl of Essex, the heiress to a large fortune. In 1728, he treated Samuel Molyneux, a member of Parliament. Samuel had a, quote, fit. Nathaniel tried to save him, but Samuel died.
From what Nathaniel called Nathaniel.
That same night, Nathaniel eloped with Samuel's wife, Lady Elizabeth.
Oh, my God! What? That's, wow.
The circumstances of Samuel's death were, quote, highly mysterious.
Weird.
Oh,
what do you
pointy
think?
Pointy stools.
Yeah. So he killed him through surgery to go elope?
What it seems like. A relative of Samuel claimed Nathaniel had poisoned him. The rumor spread. Nathaniel filed a defamation suit and won, but he was still publicly humiliated in court. And after the trial, Nathaniel could not get any work. Lady Elizabeth was dismissed from her attendance to Queen Caroline, and the couple moved to the countryside and lived off his wife's money. Then when Elizabeth died, she willed her money to relatives and left Nathaniel nothing.
Yes. Yes.
She should have just left him a rabbit.
Or half of one, anyway.
A few years later, he lost all of his investment money and possessions in a fire. He spent his last years in a poorhouse in Southampton. He died at the age of 96 in 1776. It's pretty old for back then.
Yeah.
Quote, during the last 50 years of his life, he did not once eat rabbit. And his remaining friends were considerate enough never to serve it whenever he was present. Mary Toft gave birth to a daughter, Elizabeth, in February 1728.
You know that doctor who was delivering the baby was like, let's just keep our fingers crossed.
I'm trying to think, like, there's a lot of stuff I could forgive my wife for.
Dave?
But if she was putting rabbit parts up her vagina for, like, 6 months, that's a tough one. I mean, I love her, but what's the line?
It sounds like you don't.
Well, I feel like she might have some mental problems.
Well, I mean, mental problems, yes. But I was going to say the vagina famously cleans itself quite well. So I think, sure. No, what? I mean, you know, so a few days afterwards, I'd be fine with
it. Yeah, he's a male. And the reason we have him on this episode is because Rob's a male midwife.
Yeah. Worst case, you send a chimney sweep up there to do the job. His little pipes. There's that winning sound effect again.
So she gave birth to a daughter, Elizabeth, in February 1728. The parish register stated it was, quote, the first child after her pretend rabbit breeding. Not much else is known of her later life. She was briefly imprisoned in 1740 for receiving stolen goods.
How? I'll hide them. Mary. This is a piano. Come on.
We want to launder the money. Not anyway.
Listen.
She died in 1763. Her obituary was listed in all the London newspapers. Because she's famous.
Yeah.
Amazing.
She had game. That is fucking crazy.
Crazy, awesome, you know.
This is the story of a hero.
It is the story of a hero.
But also, not to be, that is, I mean, she was poor and desperate.
She
was forced, she was cornered. She had no choice.
Yeah.
You're making women who are pregnant and having a complication go out in a field and fucking work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a desperation when you don't have any fucking safety net.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is still somehow a story of classism.
I would have been putting stuff up my ass way before she was. She was tough.
Yeah. Well, you were doing that early in your career, though.
Yeah, this is true.
I want to thank Shirin Sajapur for doing the research. She did an awesome job. And then...
I'll say.
And then a couple of books for main sources. Jan Bondison wrote A Cabinet of Medical Curiosities, a compendium of the Odd, Bizarre, and Unexpected. And then this is a long one, so I'm going to say the start, but S.A. Seligman, The Rabbit Breeder. most of the sources you can go look at, but they're all from at the time, like the 1700s. And then Dennis Todd, Imagining Monsters, Miscreations of the Self in 18th Century England is the other one. Yeah. Yep.
I don't know how much there is to dissect. Thank you guys so much for coming out. We appreciate it very much, truly. Thank you to Rob Delaney.
Thank you guys. This was great.
We appreciate it very much. That's the end of the UK leg. So thank you guys for everything. Honestly, appreciate all the support, all that shit. Thank you very much.
Vote Labor so you don't have to take rabbits out of your vagina.